WUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. President Trump's teasing an announcement on autism today. The Washington Post says the administration will link it to Tylenol use during pregnancy. Medical contributor Dr. Celine Gounder.
One of the things that concerns me is unintended side effects of this. So will women end up taking other medications like aspirin or ibuprofen during pregnancy? Those actually can be dangerous.
The president paid tribute to Charlie Kirk at a memorial that filled State Farm Stadium in Arizona.
I know I speak for everyone here today when I say that none of us will ever forget Charlie Kirk, and neither now will history.
Britain, Australia, Canada, and Portugal among the latest to recognize Palestinian statehood. Israel's Prime Minister Netanyahu threatening to respond. Linda Gradstein reports from Jerusalem.
Two of his coalition partners say the best response would be to annex parts of the West Bank, a move that Saudi Arabia says would have major implications.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Storm victims in three Wisconsin counties can now apply for special unemployment benefits. The state says federal disaster unemployment assistance is available to those in Milwaukee, Washington, and Waukesha who were put out of work by the August flooding. The aid covers people who wouldn't normally get unemployment, including the self-employed. The deadline to apply is November 10th, and officials urge people to apply as soon as possible. There could be movement midweek for another person that wants to lead in Madison. There's a flyer going around for what's called a very special event in Wausau that is fueling speculation that Tom Tiffany is entering the governor's race. Wisconsin College Republicans shared a flyer that suggests a major student push to back his candidacy. When asked about the flyer late last week, Congressman Tiffany remained vague but did not deny the rumor. There's now a lawsuit against the city of Madison for the ballots that went uncounted in November. Savannah Tomei Olson has more.
193 ballots were found by staff after Election Day, and multiple investigations have found that no one outside the clerk's office was told about it until over a month later. The ordeal led to the resignation of former city clerk Mary Beth Witzel-Bell after 20 years of service, and the Wisconsin Elections Commission declared she violated the law. Now, liberal firm Law Forward has filed a lawsuit on behalf of eight Madison voters. Attorneys representing the voters say staff from the clerk's office had multiple opportunities to correct the errors after they were discovered. That's something city leaders have acknowledged. The lawsuit is asking for damages. If you'll remember, Madison will soon have its new city clerk. Lydia McComas starts in 10 days.
Single game playoff tickets go on sale tomorrow morning. After clinching the NL Central Division title yesterday, the Brewers are guaranteed to play in the division series starting October 4th. And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The Brewers do it again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers are divisional champs of the NL Central. Although they lost yesterday 5-1 to the Cards, the Reds swept the Cubs, so Milwaukee, divisional champs for a third year in a row. Manager Pat Murphy.
Well, just this team finds a way. They're resilient, and they're guys that have a special it factor.
NFL, the Packers shocked by the Browns, losing 13-10 on a walk-off field goal by Cleveland. Defensive end Micah Parsons.
Man, it's like a movie sometimes how football works. I just think towards the end of the game they play better than us, and we got to play all four quarters of football.
College football, the Badgers losing at home to Maryland Saturday, 27-10, and now headed into the bye.
We've got a challenge. I felt like the culture of this team and the things that we did in the offseason and in fall camp was something that was a lot stronger than what we have had. We're going to find out how strong it is. That's where we're going to have to go, because this thing doesn't get any easier.
That's head coach Luke Fickell with Sports on Mike Clemens.
The WAUK Text to Win contest, sponsored by Horizons Law Group, where they educate, collaborate, mediate, or litigate to serve you best. HorizonsLaw.com.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Might want to pack along the umbrella just in case, as there is a chance of an isolated shower or a thunderstorm this afternoon. Otherwise, a mix of clouds and sun with highs in the mid-70s. A few showers and thunderstorms around tonight, a mild night with low temps in the lower 60s. Currently, it's 62.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, I'll be joined by Professor Howard Schwaber of the University of Wisconsin-Madison. We discuss what went down on Friday at the CDC and what that portends for expertise in America. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. Also leave a voice note if you have the app at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We have a jam-packed Monday coming up for you. Jocasta Zamarripa is a alder person in the city of Milwaukee, and she is running for Secretary of State. So she's going to be joining us after 9:30 to talk about her candidacy and what she would like to do in that position. Hour number two, frequent guest and friend of the show, Corrine Hendrickson, is going to be joining us right after the 10 o'clock news. Corrine, of course, ran a daycare center in New Glarus for many, many years.
Yes.
And was a big proponent and supporter of, obviously, daycare providers, and had to close.
Yes.
She had to close after all these years because it simply wasn't financially viable anymore. And she has been inspired to run for office.
It makes sense for Corrine.
It does.
I mean, if you've seen half of the interviews she's done just on this show alone, not just the network, it makes sense she's running now.
Yeah, it really does. And I think there's a lot of folks like her, too, are finally like, I've had it. We're not getting anything done. We're not getting any responses. The responses we're getting are less than satisfactory. So Corrine Hendrickson joining us in hour number two to talk about her candidacy. She's going to be running against Howard Markline. Long time Republican, and there will be a primary as well because she's not the only Dem running in that area. But Corrine joining us after 10 o'clock, last half an hour of the show, we will lighten it up as we always do with the segment we call Audio Sorbet, where we take a breath to get away from the news. This came up last week when we were kicking things around and we were talking about grocery shopping. Not talking about the prices of groceries. That's an entirely different discussion.
That's not a sorbet discussion.
No, it's not. But when you go to the grocery store, are you a shopper on a mission or are you a wanderer?
Can I widen it just a little bit?
If you like.
Do you also go non-traditional now with all the other options available? Like the shopping, delivery.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, sure. We can do that too.
Feel like there's so many ways to be a shopper now.
But some folks go in to the grocery store with a list. It's like, these are the seven things I need. And then I want to go in and out.
Yeah.
And there are those of us who may go for a little wander, waiting for something to jump out and say, cook me.
And you always just leave with Oreos anyway.
Oh, yeah, and ice cream. I don't know how that happens, but we'll talk about that after 10:30. Grocery shopping. Do you shop on a mission or are you a shopping wanderer? And then we'll wrap it up with this shouldn't be a thing. Today it's the Let Me Out edition. It's a good one.
Yeah.
You're going to want to stay tuned for that. Hey, it is underway today.
What, Jane?
Our new multi-state text to win green and gold contest.
What?
Here's how it works, my friends. Grab your phone. If you don't have it yet,
yeah,
go to your Play Store. Go to Google Play or wherever gets you apps. What? Yeah.
Your Play Store.
That the thing. Where do you buy the things?
Go to the place with the thing and get the thing on your phone.
And then they download it for free.
Mm-hmm.
Get Civic Media app. Get the Civic Media app. It is completely free. Yeah. You have to have the app in order to take part in this contest.
Mm-hmm.
And our daily prize now.
It is amazing.
It's pretty great. Go for the green and gold.
Yes. And.
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 So we're talking about $200 cash and gold jewelry every day for the next 2 weeks. And then the grand prize, two club level indoor seats to Green Bay against Minnesota in Green Bay on November 23rd at noon, and a gas card to get you there and back.
We are very nice at Civic Media.
That's a great prize.
That's a great. I have had the opportunity of sitting in those seats.
The indoor seats?
Oh my gosh. You'll never. Like, yeah, those bleachers. Give me warm. Give me comfy. Hey, I'm going to go to this game and I'm going to take my jacket off.
That's bold.
Yes. There
That's
you go.
Bold.
There you go.
So you've got a whole bunch of chances to enter.
Yeah.
But you can only enter for an hour.
Correct. Yes. That's the other
1 hour. This is different than the last time that we did this.
Yes.
So when I give you the word to text in via the app, you only have until 10 o'clock.
Okay.
And you also want to be signed up for our notifications.
Yes.
Because that will tell you that your entry has been accepted.
Mm-hmm.
Spelling counts.
Spelling counts. Absolutely. And honestly, if there's misspellings, we do a really good job, at least on our show, of letting people know.
Trying to tell you to re-enter.
Yeah, exactly. We don't want you to miss out. We understand that fingers get in the way or you mishear words.
Well,
so
you're
yes.
in the car and you're doing things.
Also, pull over and do this.
Please. Here's the word.
Oh, boy.
Do we have a little... Calvin, you want to do a drum roll?
There we
Thank
go.
Thank you. The word this hour is coin. C-O-I-N. The word this hour until 10 o'clock is coin, C-O-I-N. Text in the word coin until 10 o'clock, and you are in the running again for some pretty great prizes. Every day, one person's going to pick up $200 in cash and gold jewelry, and then be in the running for the grand prize, two club-level indoor seats when Green Bay is at Minnesota. Green Bay home game, November 23rd at noon. Gas card to get you there and back, $1,550 value. The word is coin, C-O-I-N. Text in the word coin. Your next chance will be in the 11 o'clock hour with Tom Hartman.
Mm.
1 o'clock hour with Tom Hartman.
Oh, cool. All right.
3 o'clock hour with Todd Alba.
All right.
5 o'clock hour with Maggie.
Yeah.
And 7 o'clock hour with Pete Schwabe. A whole bunch of chances, and everybody has a different word.
That's seven chances. I had to look
many,
at my fingers.
Many,
it's this many.
It's many chances.
It's this many, people.
It's many chances. So text in the word coin, C-O-I-N. Coin is the word to text in until 10 o'clock this morning for our multi-state Go for the green and gold.
Oh, my gosh. Look at all the text.
Text to win contest. It's great. I love seeing entries come in. Jana from Waukesha and Sarah in Green Bay and Mark in Jefferson and Teresa in Madison and Fred in Cottage Grove and so many more. Keep them coming in. Coin is the word. C-O-I-N. And good luck.
Good
we'd
luck.
We'd like to. Last time we were in this.
Yeah.
Our show won.
And then we retired because we won so handily, and I don't want to feel the stress again this ever again. So we are retired from winning.
We're not going to be competing with Hartman and Todd Alba.
There's so many opportunities to enter.
That's true. There's a billion ways to enter.
There's a whole bunch
of shows.
Didn't I tell you like a trillion times not to exaggerate?
I think it was several trillion.
Yeah, I think so too.
Coin is the word. C-O-I-N. And we'll remind you over the course of the hour because we want you to get in the running. And then again, your next chance with a new word will be in the 11 o'clock hour with Tom Hartman.
Okay.
Wanted to start off with this. This is something we've talked about many times.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like it should be a hard thing to get done.
No.
Representative Scott Krug, Republican, appeared on WISN's Up Front yesterday morning. Republicans set to propose sweeping changes to ballot drop boxes ahead of the midterms.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Supreme Court ruled.
Yes, they did.
That drop boxes are fine.
They're great. Drop boxes are perfectly legal. Perfectly safe.
They're safe.
They're the safest. They're the safest thing in the world.
It's a good thing. Scott Krug, vice chair of Assembly Elections Committee, said on Sunday on Up Front, "We've worked really hard with stakeholders across the spectrum, Democrats in the legislature, even talking to the governor's office about almost everything that's been in these bills. To say we haven't done our homework on these are just Republican wish list ideas, I think that would be a stretch." Krug says, "I think it's fair to say some of these things Republicans may not like either. This bill includes multiple election-related issues, including allowing election officials to start processing absentee ballots the day before Election Day. This has had bipartisan support repeatedly."
It's passed the Assembly before as
well. Repeatedly, mm-hmm. And then goes to the Senate where they kill it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In my estimation, they don't want this because this takes away one of their completely bogus claims.
Correct.
About ballot dumps.
Yeah.
In the middle of the night, mm-hmm. in Milwaukee.
Something that, you know, they've used many, many times. I mean, and there have been many, many ways to fix the problem, whether you're talking about what we're just discussing now, which is a bill to allow people to start counting ballots the day before.
And actually, it's not even counting them.
Yeah.
It's just processing them.
Processing.
So it is a different thing.
Yeah.
And we'll include these articles in our show notes so you can read this for yourself, because it's not even counting them.
Yeah.
It's just getting them checked.
And ready to go.
Yeah.
And there has been, you know, we had numerous opportunities to do this, and they've killed it in the Senate. They've poo-pooed it. They've said all sorts of terrible things about it. And really, it always comes down to the fact that Wisconsinites agree on this one. I think a lot of Republicans agree on this one. It's finally just becoming overwhelming to the point where they have to do something, because the narrative of ballot dumps and, you know, all this bad actors doing these bad things, it's just never proven, and it's a waste of time. And it makes it harder for these people, especially at places like Milwaukee, Madison, that have a lot of ballots. It just makes their jobs really
harder.
I mean, do you remember 2020 when people were surrounding these buildings, screaming and yelling at them when they were just trying to do their job? So we're going to so really quick for the show notes, I just want to let everyone know three things for this topic. There's going to be two articles on it, and then I also included the interview that Mr. Krug did with Up Front as well.
Matt Smith, yep.
And I will say the interview is interesting because while they want to do this, there are some provisos, and one of them being that drop boxes have to have 24-hour surveillance,
yes,
via live stream. Via camera, live streamed on the municipality's website at all times.
Yes.
So basically, what you will see is a camera pointing at a mailbox waiting for people to put their ballots in, which I assume that, you know, a municipality has more than one, so they'll have more than one camera available.
Well, and not necessarily.
Okay.
There might only be one drop box, but yes, if there are multiple drop boxes, they will need multiple cameras.
There you go. And that means that that's going to cost money. And Mr. Krug addresses that point in the interview, saying, how about some of these municipalities that can't afford all that technology? Well, I guess there's grant money now.
Is there?
Yeah.
You mean grant money like was offered by Mark Zuckerberg's foundation?
The old version of Mark Zuckerberg when he cared about democracy.
Right.
No, yeah. They got rid of that one. We can't do that because we voted on a constitutional amendment which did away with all outside, not outside money to influence our election, outside money to help
process to run elections.
Exactly.
That's what the money was for.
To give resources to these local county and city clerks that would allow them to run their elections easier and simply. Yeah, we got rid of that. And so, but now there's grant money and it's coming from probably our surplus.
We'll continue this discussion.
Exactly.
In just a moment, join us at 855-752-4842. Don't forget the word to text in via your civic media app is COIN, C-O-I-N. You have until 10 o'clock. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. We're coming to you on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. A new analysis from Clean Wisconsin shows AI data centers in the state will use more power than all the homes in Wisconsin combined. Potential energy demand has been disclosed for just two projects in the state, the Vantage Data Center in Port Washington and Phase 1 of the Microsoft Data Center in Mount Pleasant. Those two projects alone require a combined 3.9 gigawatts of power, which is enough energy to power more than 4 million Wisconsin homes. Wisconsin has just under 3 million housing units in the entire state. Senator Tammy Baldwin has announced Senate passage of a bill that will help protect Wisconsin lakes from toxic algae. The legislation would improve monitoring, forecasting, and prevention of harmful algal blooms by requiring better coordination among task force agencies, state and local entities, and tribes. Right now on the Defender podcast, the Wisconsin Climate March is coming. Listen to find out more at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Make every day extraordinary with something special from Wisconsin. From artisan cheeses to fresh produce to maple syrup, the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection's Something Special from Wisconsin program is proud to work with member businesses that certify their Wisconsin-made and processed products. Look for the red and yellow sticker and visit somethingspecialfromwisconsin.com to find member businesses and products made with care, quality, and love. Sponsored by Wisconsin DATCP.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Kira Sabin, positive psychology midlife coach.
People cannot take away our joy. When I spend time with people I love, putting my time and energy in things that I love that I think are important, not much has really changed. If you are worried about LGBTQIA plus rights, go volunteer at that organization.
You know you're moving the cause forward, and that's great for our mental health.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station, and on the app.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Box, Sweet Galby on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It is underway. Our multi-state text to win green and gold contest. So many chances to win.
So many seven.
So many chances now, to win.
Now, if you've already participated, there are only five left. After you,
oh, that's right, because it was Pat already. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
But if you have not entered yet, grab your phone. Open up the Civic Media app.
Here I go.
Text in the word COIN.
K-O-I-N.
No, C-O-I-N.
Sorry.
Text C-O-I-N. In the word COIN.
Gotcha.
C-O-I-N. Text in the word COIN by 10 o'clock, and you are in the running for $200 cash and gold jewelry. That is our daily prize. And then everyone who enters is in the running for the grand prize, two club-level indoor seats to Green Bay and Minnesota. It's a home game November 23rd at noon. This includes a gas card to get you to and from the game. Pretty nice.
All of that would cost me a big amount of COIN.
It would. And that is the word COIN. C-O-I-N. Text in the word COIN. If you do it correctly, you will get a little message from us that lets you know that it went through.
Yeah.
That's why we ask that you get notifications so that you know that you entered correctly. And you do get one free bonus round.
What?
One free bonus entry.
What country are we living in?
It's a great country. So once you text in the word coin, and then you get that message back, and it will give you an option of doing, follow us on Facebook.
Yeah.
Or do some action.
Mm-hmm. Sign up for our brand new newsletter.
Our daily Civic Media newsletter, which is really pretty great.
Civic Media Today.
Civic Media Today.
I was going to say Civic News. Civic Media Today, the new newsletter.
The new newsletter. But again, if you do one of those actions, that will get you a bonus entry. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you only get one.
Correct.
So let's not go crazy. Not get crazy. Coin is the word. C-O-I-N. Coin. Until 10 o'clock, your next chance. Tom Hartman will have a new word for you in the 11 o'clock hour and the 1 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
Then Todd Alba with a new one at the 3 o'clock hour. Maggie Dawn at 5 p.m. Pete Schwabe at 7 p.m. during Nightlight.
It's just too many chances,
so
I tell you.
So many chances to win. It's pretty great. Coin is the word right now. Text in the word coin via the Civic Media app, just like Ann in Watertown and Tanya in Madison and Dana in La Crosse and Kevin, who doesn't want to tell us where he is.
We know where you are, Kevin.
No, that's fine.
I don't know where you are.
Coin is the word and good luck. Before we went to the break, we were talking about ballot drop boxes. Republican Scott Krug was on WISN's Up Front yesterday talking about, and he, this is a quote from Representative Krug, because of the makeup for the Supreme Court, we know drop boxes aren't going anywhere.
Yeah, that one hit me pretty hard in the face, too. I felt like that was his way of saying, if the makeup of the state Supreme Court were different, this wouldn't be a problem. In fact, if the makeup of the Supreme Court were any different, we wouldn't even be talking about this bill either, because they would have the voting they way the want the way they want, which, by the way, Jane, I don't know the way they want.
They want in person day of voting only.
But do they? Because Brian Schimming spent the better part of a year getting people to bank their votes with the understanding that we need to embrace early voting, embrace alternate ways and legal ways of voting that are protected and not new.
No.
I think this is the thing, Jane, for me, that, like, if you hear me talking about this story, you should be excited. All right, cool. Scott Krug, a Republican, is putting forth a way to help expedite our election process. That's great. But unfortunately, it comes with caveats and all these little sprinkling in of words that say things like, well, because we don't know what's going on. No, our elections are safe. We know this. There's no proof of widespread fraud. There's no proof of, like, medium fraud. There are people who get arrested for illegal voting and they get thrown in jail or they get fined. But pass a law that helps Central Count do their job. Keep these ballot boxes where they are because they are legal, they are protected, and they are safe. I'm talking to you, Doug Dinney in Wausau.
Yeah, that's a whole other story.
Stop trying to sow not fear, but that basic, you know, distrust, which grows into fear, which grows into, well, I heard, Jane, that they were taking those ballots and they were throwing them in the Mississippi River because they made sure that all the Trump ones were jettisoned.
I still would like someone to explain to me how people who are on the same ballot won their election, but Trump lost that election and they want to toss out the results because Trump lost, but they won. I would really like someone to explain to me how that worked.
I would like someone to apply cold, hard scientific logic to that idea. And I'm waiting for the calls. I'm waiting for the texts. I'm waiting for the emails, but they never come because let this be another time I have to say, if you have information, send it. If it's real, verified, written by a credible news source or a scientist or a group that did the research, send it along. Jane, would you love to blow something wide open and be like, oh my gosh, we found out blah, blah, blah. But it never happens because it doesn't exist. I got to take a moment.
Good. The bill, it does, again, in return for this allowing processing one day early, in return for this, as you mentioned, the bill includes numerous security changes for the drop boxes. 24-hour video surveillance must be live streamed on a municipality's website. Ballots also have to be transferred from the drop box to the storage facility under the constant supervision of a law enforcement officer. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens with this. News is coming up next, and when we return, we will be joined by Milwaukee Alderperson Zocasta Zamarripa is going to join us to talk about her run for Secretary of State. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, texting the word COIN on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. There's a lot of help available to those impacted by the flooding. Even the IRS is trying to assist. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot explains.
The Internal Revenue Service announced that tax relief for people and businesses in areas of the state affected by storms now have until February 2nd to file federal, individual, and business tax returns.
The benefit for taxpayers is it lets them focus on recovering from the emergency and not worrying about filing their taxes by the deadline of October 15th.
That's Stacey Engel from the Internal Revenue Service. Following the disaster declaration issued by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, homes or businesses in Milwaukee, Washington, and Waukesha counties qualify for this relief.
Call the 866-562-5227 and request the tax relief. Otherwise, our system is automatically updated with anybody that falls into those three counties.
All relief workers affiliated with a recognized government or philanthropic organization assisting in the relief efforts in the covered disaster area qualify. Also, anyone that visited the disaster area and was injured as a result can also get relief.
An extension of time to file generally is not an extension of time to pay. So even though they're extending this, if they had a balance due April 15th, penalties and interest still may accrue. However, they do have the right to request those to be removed.
For Civic Media News, I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
May Ruth rest in peace. The Milwaukee County Zoo is mourning the loss of Ruth, one of its elephants. Ruth, who is 43, was found down in her stall Saturday morning and couldn't get back up. Despite efforts, veterinarians determined that putting her down was the most humane choice. And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Legendary director Martin Scorsese is 82 years old, but showing no signs of slowing down. Variety reports that the Oscar winner will direct an adaptation of What Happens at Night, a ghost story novel written by Peter Cameron that came out in 2023. The story follows an American couple who goes to a snowy, cold European city to adopt a child. The film has a couple of A-listers attached already in Leonardo DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence. Apple Films will oversee production. Actress Anne Hathaway had some choice words for the press, more specifically, the paparazzi. While filming The Devil Wears Prada 2 in New York City recently, the press got a little too aggressive for her liking. The Les Mis star told the Vultures to relax and back off because there were children on the set. Hathaway and Meryl Streep are both back for the sequel. The much-anticipated follow-up to The Devil Wears Prada hits theaters May 1st of 2026. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The 540 WAUK Text to Win contest is sponsored by Pickleball Kingdom, just a half mile north of Silver Spring Drive off Pilgrim Road, Menominee Falls.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Might want to pack along the umbrella just in case, as there is a chance of an isolated shower or a thunderstorm this afternoon. Otherwise, a mix of clouds and sun with highs in the mid-70s. A few showers and thunderstorms around tonight, a mild night with low temps in the lower 60s. Currently, it's 62.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. Why throw your hat in the ring to become governor, especially in times like this?
Folks are tired of politicians who focus on culturals and partisan issues versus delivering real results is going to change lives. And that's what we've done in Milwaukee County. And so my calling is being able to be there for people at my best when people are dealing with their worst times. And as elected officials, as community leaders, that's what we should be focused on.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm live from Madison, where I'll be joined in studio by singer-songwriter Eric Jelen and UW Cinematheque's Jim Healy, and I talk about Robert Redford. Let's light it up state capitol style.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, the Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It is underway, our multi-state text to win green and gold contest. You have until 10 o'clock this morning to text in the word COIN, C-O-I-N, text in the word COIN, and you are in the running for our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry, and then in the running for the grand prize, two club-level indoor seats to Green Bay against Minnesota at home November 23rd at noon, and a gas card to get you to the game. The word to text in is COIN, C-O-I-N. We had Bob from Madison. C-I-O-N is not how you spell COIN.
It's Kian.
Kian. Sion. Bob from Madison, give it another try. C-O-I-N. C-O-I-N is the word to text in. You have until 10 o'clock. We're delighted to be joined by Milwaukee Alderperson Jocasta Zamarripa as she is running for Secretary of State. Jocasta, good morning, Alderperson. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you so much for inviting me this morning.
Absolutely. We're delighted to have you. Tell us, first of all, Alderperson, what is the role of Secretary of State? What would you bring to that role? Why is this important?
Well, I would love to try to fill our current Secretary of State, Sarah Godlewski's, shoes and being our Secretary of State. Although over the years, the Republicans have removed several of the duties of the Secretary of State, including many staff of the Secretary of State's office, I know after meeting with Sarah Godlewski, there are still a tremendous amount of important duties under the Secretary of State, and I'd like to continue the work she started. And I would also like to grow the office. We have a chance to pick up the majority to hang on to the executive branch, and I believe Democrats want to restore many of those duties as well.
What are some of those duties? What would you like to see be restored to the Secretary of State position?
Well, you know, right now we know that the Secretary of State does some really important things like maintaining the oaths of office. Republicans tried to pull some shenanigans around the oaths of office. Particularly, I'm thinking about Supreme Court Justice Protasiewicz. They tried to play games in asking for her oath of office. So we have to make sure there's no shenanigans there. I want to continue to maintain our oaths of office. I want to continue to maintain our vital records. The Secretary of State still maintains all the vital records in the state. So I want to continue those duties, absolutely. And we'll see what the electorate wants to see restored into the office, what the Democratic majority will want to see restored. But there was a time going way back when that we oversaw elections. So we'll see what the electorate says to me on the campaign trail and what they'd like to see.
I would think in this day and age, preserving records is kind of a vital thing when it feels like information is being intentionally disappeared.
Oh, absolutely. And especially with, unfortunately, the election denying and whatnot that the Republicans have unfortunately been playing around with. We have to make sure we maintain the integrity of the Secretary of State's office and keep it in Democratic hands.
You are in the City Council of Milwaukee. You are running for office. I imagine you are talking to people all the time, whether it's knocking on doors or going to events. What are you hearing from the constituency, the voters, on what they want to see you bring to the office, as well as what do they want to see brought to Madison as far as passing laws, you know, education, things of that nature. What are you hearing from our voters?
Right now, and I'm just starting the race, as you guys know, I'm a couple of weeks in. We have just begun Hispanic Heritage Month in the last week, so I find myself going to many events centered around our Latino community. I've been attending quite a bit of Democratic Party events, and they are excited about the prospect. My Dems are excited about the prospect of making sure I help to get out the vote for Democrats up and down the ballot. To make sure that I help whoever is our candidate for governor, that I'm committed to helping them. They know that I'm a team player and that I will help us to get that trifecta that we're hoping for. The Hispanic Heritage Month events that I find myself going to in this last week, honestly, the pride that it instills in many Latino Wisconsinites at the possibility of electing the first statewide Latino to elected office, I can tell it instills a lot of pride. They hope that I'll continue to be a voice for this growing community that finds themselves, frankly, under attack, particular immigrant families from our federal government right now.
If you're just joining us, we're joined by Milwaukee Alderperson Jocasta Zamarripa, and she has put her hat in the race for Secretary of State. I'm glad you brought that up, Alderperson Zamarripa, because famously a larger proportion of Latinos voted for Donald Trump this time around, even with all of the mass deportation now signs that we saw at his rallies leading up to the election. Is there a lot of surprise, do you think, at the way the Trump administration has gone about this? There's another article I saw this morning that said that the number of people that ICE has taken into custody are still not they're not criminals. They have not been criminally charged, or they have not been convicted of anything yet. What are you hearing from the Latino community about the way this is being handled?
There is surprise. There were Latinos, as you noted, that supported Trump. They believed that he would only deport the bad ones or the criminal element. But the truth is that Trump sees us all as the bad ones in the criminal element. And so he is following through with his campaign promise. And I think that some Latinos, I hope that they feel, those that supported him feel and understand that regret, and that it was he was the wrong choice. And again, it is part of the reason why I want to run for this office. I'm hoping to galvanize the Latino community here in the great state of Wisconsin so that they see if they have the right to vote, they need to vote in every election, and that they should be voting for Democrats, the party that has stood with immigrant families at every turn. I hope that they see that we are the party that wants to welcome them in and weave them into the fabric of the great state of Wisconsin.
Where do you think the messaging went wrong? Because, again, obviously a larger proportion of the Latino population voted for Republicans last year. And as you said, it seems the Democrats are the ones who are actually bringing forth policies that help people on the lower economic scale, but yet there is a disconnect in the messaging.
Well, you know, I think that there, unfortunately, is blame to go around. You know, I represent, and as you probably know, I served a decade in the state legislature before becoming an alderperson here in the city of Milwaukee. I represent a supermajority Latino district, and as proud as I am of that fact, it is also the lowest voter turnout district in the state. It was when I was a very young volunteer for the Democrat Party, and I discovered I lived in the district. The lowest voter turnout is the reason it was the catalyst for me to get in to this work. It's when I realized that this would be my life's work. And so my goal has been to increase that Latino voter turnout. And yet, you know, it's hard to make that pitch to the Democrats when money is so tight and they want to focus on those higher voter turnout areas. We end up being, being last on the list.
Yeah.
Yes. And so my hope too, to walk into this statewide position, is to be able to really implore my Democratic Party, my state party, to make this investment. We have to invest in this community or we are going to lose them. And I think we're starting to see that, unfortunately, as you noted, Jane.
I think that message of being skipped over or forgotten about is so very true in what you're saying, and also can be applied to so many places around the state. rural areas, farmers, folks who are just small business owners. They feel like, you know, they're being talked at by certain politicians, but not spoken with. And I'm wondering how, you know, that fire that you have for your community and making sure they are counted and they are looked at and recognized, how do you plan on bringing that message to those other communities around the state who want to vote to say, we see you, you are heard, and we want you to be part of the conversation and part of the election and get out and vote? How do you plan on getting out there and having those conversations?
By physically getting out there to every corner of the state, because that's my concern too. Yes, I have this tremendous responsibility to this to the Latino population in this state to be a representative for them. I was the first Latino woman elected to the state legislature. I was the first Latina woman elected to the Common Council in Milwaukee. But I want to represent, and I do represent, all of my constituents. So thank you for asking me that. I know that it starts for me with me getting out there across the great state of Wisconsin so that they understand that I want to represent them no matter what part of the state that they reside in. And I think that I started that effort back when I was a state representative in the assembly, when I would join my colleagues and go across the state, go to La Crosse, Wisconsin, and knock doors for my candidate, for my colleague, Steve Doyle. We were able to flip that seat. I was held for decades under Republican control. Steve Doyle flipped it, and it became Democrat that year that he and I were freshmen in 2011. In fact, they called me an honorary La Crosse, and I was up there so much doing doors. I've done doors in Sparta, Wisconsin, and in areas of the state where maybe I don't look familiar to them, but it I know that once they got a chance to get to know me and meet me and talk with me, to hear my Wisconsin accent, to know that like they are. And I think that I can win them over, but Greg, it starts with me getting across the state and meeting them and meeting them where they're at. And I hope when I do that, that I'll be able to win them over and make them see that I want to fight for them as hard as anybody here on the near south side of Milwaukee.
Well, and that's what we heard a lot in other folks that we spoke to who were running in 2024. And it is about getting out and meeting people where they are, as you said, and not avoiding areas that typically don't vote for you. That is not a winning strategy either, right? You have to go into areas where some folks might take a little more convincing.
Absolutely. And as I said, I represent proudly a supermajority Latino district, but also the lowest voter turnout in the state still, even all these years later. It's something I continue to work on, but I know I have to reach out beyond, of course, the city of Milwaukee, the near south side of the city of Milwaukee, and make sure that folks see me as a voice for all of them.
Well, and it's about, and we tried as well leading up to the 2024 election, trying to encourage people. It's not sexy. Midterm elections aren't sexy. It's not the big ones that all the attention is directed at, and yet we still need to create some enthusiasm and create some desire.
Yeah.
We have to make voting cool again. We've talked about that a lot. We're trying to make voting cool again. It's cool. Everybody who's anybody votes, you guys.
Boy, when you say it that many times, it really sounds cool, Jane.
I really convinced you on that. Yes. We're going to continue our conversation with Milwaukee Alderperson Jocasta Zamarripa. She is running for Secretary of State in our great state of Wisconsin. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on 540 WAUK. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize. $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize. Two indoor club-level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota. Download our free Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. Complete rules at civicmedia.us. Sponsored in part by attorney Michelle Fitzgerald at Horizons Law Group. Getting divorced or need divorce coaching? See horizonslaw.com.
Are unauthorized immigrants eligible for federal Medicaid coverage? No. Unauthorized immigrants are not eligible for traditional federally funded Medicaid health insurance and never have been. A 1996 law also requires most authorized immigrants to wait 5 years for eligibility. 14 states, not including Wisconsin, use state funds to cover unauthorized immigrants. President Trump has proposed cutting federal Medicaid funds to those states, which could drop 1.4 million people from health care coverage. In Wisconsin, Medicaid covers 1.28 million people at a cost of $12.1 billion. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. And don't forget, you have a little over 7 minutes to text in the word via the Civic Media app. Text in the word COIN, C-O-I-N, by 10 o'clock, and you are in the running. It is our Go for the Green and Gold multi-state text-to-win contest. You can pick up $200 cash, gold jewelry. That's our daily prize. Mm-hmm. Our grand prize are some really great tickets when Green Bay plays Minnesota on November 23rd. You got a whole bunch of chances to enter. Right now, you want to enter by 10, text in the word COIN, C-O-I-N. Your next chance at 11 and 1 with Tom Hartman, 3 p.m. with Todd Alba, 5 p.m. with Maggie Dawn, 7 p.m. with Pete Schwabba.
You know, Jane, I don't know about you or our wonderful guest, Jocasta Zamarripa or Calvin, but I'm a child of the late 80s, early 90s. And I would love to bring the gold chain back to my style. I used to rock them very much with my IOU sweatshirt. So
I bet you did.
I can't win the contest, but I can definitely, it's really inspired me to get back into the gold chain
game.
Yeah.
The whole vibe.
IOU sweatshirt with some Z Cavarici pants. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
I don't even know what that is.
We're going to Skateland later.
Milwaukee Alderperson Joe Casas Amaripa is our guest. She is running for Wisconsin Secretary of State. We were talking a little bit about getting out and meeting voters before we went to the break, and we did have a text come in that I wanted to share with you, Alderperson. Jana from Waukesha says, this is why knocking on doors is so powerful. Face-to-face conversation, showing effort, and showing up at their doors. Right? Because it's a lot easier to say, yes, I am here for you, and you never go to their community.
Absolutely. That's the one thing I tell aspiring candidates when they ask to meet with me, ask me for advice. I tell them there's two things that are a lifeblood of any successful campaign, and that is door canvassing, talking to the voters, get on the doors and knock them, ask them to vote for you, and a necessary evil, the fundraising component.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But which has got to be horrible. It's got to be horrible. I can't even imagine. And I would think that that is one aspect of going into public office that stops a lot of people is the constant having to ask for money.
Yeah, it is difficult. And even after taking some time off when you don't raise for a few months and then you're getting back at it, it is that much. You just have to, it's like exercising. You just have to keep doing it consistently because it is hard.
Yeah, it has to be. In the time that we have left, Alderperson, I did want to ask you just briefly about the reckless driving problem in Milwaukee. And I know that there are a number of things that the Common Council has tried to come up with, and they're spending a lot of money on bump outs and speed bumps.
Yes. Traffic calming measures,
Measures.
Yes.
But I also feel like there is a portion of the population that just wants to see the book thrown at some of these people who are doing this reckless driving.
Yes, absolutely. We have invested in our infrastructure, in the very measures that you've pointed out, speed humps, speed tables, bump outs. These things were an investment in our infrastructure that hadn't been made ever. I mean, they're a very new kind of modern evolution to try to slow down traffic and not just depend on the law enforcement component just because it's impossible. We want to try to prevent it from all angles. And it's not that we don't also want to hold people accountable. We absolutely do. But it's just an additional component of addressing the epidemic that is reckless driving. So absolutely, we believe in a layered approach.
There's a lot of frustration, though. And again, there was another tragedy. Three people were killed in a police chase. And now I'm hearing various discussions about we should stop doing police chases because innocent people end up getting killed. But at the same time, if we don't do something to step on these reckless drivers, that's never going to stop.
Yeah, that's definitely something that I'm hearing, too. Obviously, being here in Milwaukee, the family, the mother and the two sons that was killed, is tragic. They were coming home from a soccer game. Mm. We do have the perpetrators in custody, and I have every desire to see them held absolutely accountable to the fullest extent of the law, because it is just tragic. And when I hear, and it's mostly been Chevy, Mayor Johnson, who has been fielding the questions as people ask, do we want to keep doing police chases? The truth is that years and years ago, before Chevy or myself ever got into elected leadership at the city, it was a former chief, Chief Flynn, who instituted this policy. And honestly, I think we're still struggling from that time that he instituted a no chase policy. I think that it was part of what created this culture. Oh. And now we're still trying to deal with it even today.
You make a really good point. And I remember exactly what you're talking about. And that essentially informed people who were stealing cars that they weren't going to chase you.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Because again, innocent people tragically get killed in these police chases. Yeah. And that was supposed to hopefully lessen that. And and I think the Alderperson is right, is that that partially led to the mess that we're in now. We're just about out of time. If people want to contact your campaign, Alderperson Zamaripa, how can they do that?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Thank you. I have a Gmail account, votejocasta@gmail.com. I have my website, votejocasta.com. Please join me in this effort to win statewide office and fight for Wisconsinites across this great state and keep Democrats in power and get us into the majority.
We will include all of that information in our show notes. Milwaukee Alderperson Jocasta Zamarripa running for Wisconsin Secretary of State. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank
really, really
you.
Appreciate it. News is coming up next, and then Corrine Hendrickson will join us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast, statewide, countrywide. Pick us up around the world on the Civic Media app.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. We're expecting an announcement from the Trump administration today linking a common painkiller to autism. CBS's Natalie Brand at the White House.
The Washington Post has reported that today administration officials are expected to warn against the use of Tylenol by pregnant women unless they have a fever.
Studies have refuted a link. The Trump administration shut down a bribery probe into border czar Tom Homan. Correspondent Scott McFarlane.
The case indefinitely stalled soon after Trump became president. Homan, who also worked for Immigration and Customs Enforcement during Trump's first term, has denied any wrongdoing.
There's a court hearing in New Hampshire today for a suspect accused of killing a man while he was eating at a country club in Nashua. CBS's Lilia Luciano is there.
Police arrested the suspect, who previously worked at the country club in a nearby neighborhood, quickly after the shooting.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.